Tuesday, listeners. Today's episode is going to be a spooky one, because this week we're going to be talking about cryptids.
Ooh.
I know, very creepy. I can't do that voice anymore. Do you want to tell our audience a little bit what you know about cryptids or what you found out about cryptids?
Well, if I'm going to be honest, I wasn't even aware of the word cryptids, which is really funny because the actual definition of the word is it's a creature that doesn't exist. There's no scientific proof that it exists.
Mm.
So my experience with cryptids is very, very, very limited other than reading about Bigfoot. The Abominable Snowman.
Your classics.
Yes, exactly. Oh, and Nessie. We can't forget Nessie.
Now, did you have a run-in with a cryptid at any time? Or maybe a cryptid? Unconfirmed?
Yes, I did have an unconfirmed interaction with what I'm guessing is a cryptid. So I was on vacation in England, of course, and I was with my cousin, and we were just, you know, walking around, doing a little bit of exploring in the countryside, and I heard a growl emanating from a bush, and it really freaked me out, and it didn't sound like a dog. I'm really, really familiar with dogs and how they sound, especially when they're in, you know, defensive stances, not saying that I like to aggravate dogs. Yes, now you know why your dog really barks at night. It's because of me. The real
cryptid. She's a wild Emily.
So I just knew, I was like, this isn't right. We need to get away from here. So I think I really freaked out my cousin, and I said to her, I was like, we're getting out of here. I didn't even give her the option. And what's really weird is a couple minutes later, once we were at least, I think, 150 feet away, which I deemed safe.
This is the safe zone.
Enough, I didn't hear footsteps behind us, so I was like, okay, we're good. She never heard the growl. It was just me.
Oh, she must have thought, like, you were being extremely, like, weird. You're like, we gotta get out of here. It's like, oh, okay.
And I actually don't think she believed me. When I said I heard the growl, and it was clear as day, and I'm pretty sturdy when it comes to interactions with stuff like this. I'm protecting my fellow brethren.
Yeah.
So to hear that growl and run and not have it confirmed by somebody else was extremely
unnerving.
Weird. Yes, unnerving and interesting, and I was really glad that she followed me and didn't question it.
Yeah. I'd say that's a good thing. My experience, I would say, is limited as well. I didn't even know about the word cryptid until more recently, I would say. It was mentioned in one of the podcasts I listened to. They do this Monster of the Week thing where they hunt cryptids, which I think is, like, really cool.
Very cool.
Yeah. And my cryptid story, I don't really know if I can... I don't know if it's as scary as yours. Mine's a little bit more, I think, on the creepy side.
Is it cryptic, would you say?
You could say that. My friends and I were just hanging out by the local baseball field. We do that, like, on the weekends, like, when no one's around, just to hang out, to talk and whatever. We were exploring the forest. I was around, I think, maybe, like, 12, mm-hmm. 12, 13, 14. And we've been in this forest tons of times before, and we've done countless treks through it. We know it like the back of our hands. And
Josh,
one
this
day,
is the start of every horror movie.
I know, it sounds really bad, doesn't it? One day we found what I would attribute to bones, like just like bones. And I was like, and I did some digging, and it, like, a rib cage, like it was like a whole rib cage. And I was like, ooh, this looks bad. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, what if someone was, like, I don't know, murdered or something? And, like,
that's wretched.
Like as a kid, you know, you freak out.
Right.
So I ran home and told my dad, and, like, the cops came out there, did some, like, researching around there, and, like, they found a skull. And it was, like, a small, like, human skull. It looked human to me. But when they were doing their investigation about it, they said they attributed it as, like, to some animal. And I was like, animal? I was like, it looks like a human-like child. And it's like, no, it's like, if you see, like, look at these bones over, like, here, like, I don't know why the cops would be willing to go this far to show a child, you know? Or maybe they were just trying to, like, not freak me out. And, like, they weren't, it wasn't a normal, like, human rib cage, they said. Like, it was, like, some weird, like, animal. But they couldn't describe, like, what animal it could have been. And so those bones were just left there, and, like, no explanation was found for them, so we just kind of left them alone. But I did not go back into those woods
for some time. Because it's ruined for you, right?
Yeah, because it's creepy. Oh my gosh. I don't...
I think my wrist just went weak. Like... Where is this again?
It's in Orlando.
So I can never go there.
Well, good luck avoiding Orlando. It's a big place. But yeah, I just that had me very shaken for a long time. I don't know whether it was a child or not, whether that was like some sort of weird animal that couldn't be explained by any sort of authorities or anything like that. But yeah, didn't go back.
That's the worst part, though, I think, about the cryptids in reading about them, is there's just no definitive explanation for them. Mm-hmm. And I know I did some research through National Geographic to see if I could find any scientific theories behind it. And the two biggest explanations were, it's either people misidentifying animals that they don't see that often, so they automatically attributed it to something strange or odd, or it's people who are in such a state of mind, they're so afraid, they're so freaked out, like you and I were in our respective stories, mm-hmm. that their minds automatically place a shape on there that is familiar to us. And of course, if you're familiar with stories like Bigfoot, the Abominable Snowman, you automatically think it's something that's gonna come and get you.
Yeah, and I remember reading a lot of these stories while doing our research, and it's funny because, like, whenever people describe cryptids, it's always pieces of other animals that they attribute to.
Yes.
Like, oh, it had the legs of an alligator and, like, the face of a bear and, you know, so.
I mean, part of me wants to say, like, that's normal when you're trying to describe something that doesn't have an explanation for it yet, right? Because what do? You compare it to the familiar.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if you're the only one who's seen it. Oh, and I do remember reading in one of my cases, which I will identify that later, that one of the people who had seen a cryptid wasn't actually familiar with folklore that it's compared to. So you have to wonder kind of what's going on with your mind there.
Right. Okay, so this week we decided to feature something very special, a local author, and not just any local author. This local author's name is Scott C. Marlowe. Some of you may or may not have heard of him. We thought we'd do a little highlight on him because while we were reading the book, we just loved the way he wrote the book.
Yes.
And we just loved the work that he did. And we found out that he is not only just an author, but, I mean, he is a proclaimed credible cryptozoologist. He has a lot of TV credits, Monster Quest, Is It True?, Legend Hunters, Destination Truth, Weird Travels, and so he's a pretty exciting guy. And the book that we brought for you today is called Cryptid Creatures of Florida, and it actually can be found on our shelves. It has a special marker on it that denotes it as a local author, and we both, Emily and I, decided to share the book and do some research on a couple of cryptids. I brought two today. Emily, I believe, brought three.
Mm-hmm.
I was gonna bring three, but I delved so deep into the two that I had brought, and one of them was especially long and very interesting, that I thought it merited for a little deeper explanation.
So in other words, he wants you to check the book out and have some fun and explore it for yourselves.
Oh yeah, and by no means did we even scratch the surface of the cryptids mentioned in this book.
Exactly. It was very difficult just to pick a few to feature on the podcast today.
And I think I will let Emily go first.
Yes. Okay, so I'm going to start with something referred to as the swamp ape, which does actually have ties with Bigfoot.
Okay.
Confirmed ties with Bigfoot, according to
distant cousin?
A distant cousin. Not the cousin I escaped the cryptid from.
Oh.
A different cousin. So the swamp ape goes by multiple different names. It's also known as the skunk ape.
Like that name.
It has been seen, quote unquote, in other states, not just Florida. And I believe there was also a film about it made in 2017, a student film from Florida International University called Swamp Ape.
No way.
Yes. And I found it on IMDb.
Oh.
There are reviews on IMDb.
Good reviews?
I'm pretty sure their friends gave good reviews. He said one review said it was the best film he had seen all year.
Okay. Wait.
So on that note, I encourage you to check it out. But it does feature the infamous swamp ape. So what does the swamp ape look like? Well, supposedly it's about 8 feet tall.
Accounts, that's pretty tall.
Yes. Accounts vary between 7 to 8 feet tall. It has very long arms, very hairy. To one guy, he said that it was extremely stinky. So that's
the skunk. Is that where the skunk part comes
yes,
from?
Okay. Yes. I aptly name.
Yeah.
And it has very, very large orange yellow eyes.
Ooh.
Yes. But
like,
it's
like a hairy Slender Man.
Yes. Only not creepy, and it doesn't follow you around.
And he doesn't sting. Oh, he does sting.
He does sting.
Slender Man doesn't sting.
Just don't have morbidity.
Yeah.
And death. Imminent sacrifice. From what I've read with some of the accounts from the book and online, the creature is very benevolent. It's not aggressive. It's just a creature that people have either seen or interacted with. One account I focused on, which does appear in our Cryptid Creatures of Florida book, was a guy named JD who first came across the swamp ape in Florida, and I believe it was Lakeland. Yes, it was Lakeland, Florida. He came across the creature in 1926 during the Prohibition era.
Holy moly.
Yes. So this guy's been around for a while. And over the years, he kept seeing the creature intermittently, and eventually got to the point where they developed a symbiotic relationship. The creature would come up to his house, and JD would feed him bacon, not face to face, obviously, because that would mean that the creature existed.
The creature's weakness.
My weakness, too.
Most people's weakness.
So JD would leave bacon for the creature, and he would come and eat it, and it would be gone the next day. And according to JD, there were footprints to prove the existence of the creature. This creature also likes to make loud howling noises. So very, very kind, very sweet, likes bacon, and was also sighted again in, I believe, the 2000s.
Boy, this boy's old.
Yes, very much so. What's interesting is JD did, as he's the guy who's had the most interactions with the swamp ape, at least here in Florida, had said that he noticed that the creature was moving slower and getting older as he was. Make of that what you will.
Hmm. Okay. I mean, I think I would be scared of an 8-foot, hairy, long-armed creature that has yellow eyes and that stinks.
Yeah, that really needs Old Spice.
Yeah. Or something. I don't know. Would you like to hear about my first creature?
Yes, your terrifying first creature. Yes, I would.
I don't know necessarily terrifying, but definitely interesting. My first creature is the giant Juno worm, located near Juno Beach. This was discovered by a scuba diver named Jay Garbos. So he was just scuba diving along near the beach, and he found what appeared to be a 10-foot-long worm. I was like, how big is that? I was like, yeah. If I saw a worm that big, like, I think, yeah, I'd be...
How many
I'd arms? Be intrigued.
Yes.
Intrigued. So he first thought it was a sea cucumber, mm-hmm. but... quickly dismissed that as he saw its size. Now, he described this worm as being gray and putty-like, smooth and taffy when stretched.
Oh, like that's taffy. An image.
And I'm like, did he stretch it? So he dubbed it, and I love this name, the living intestine.
Ew, oh my goodness.
Now, so he reported this to, I guess, local scientists, zoologists, mm-hmm. and they, the closest thing that they could come up with that was, that fit the description was a Nemertian worm? I don't think I'm saying that right, but we'll say that I am. they're a type of proboscis, man, there's a lot of big words in this one, proboscis worms. There are about 1,400 species of these worms. These worms can grow anywhere from 1 inch to, I don't know, give me a number.
30 feet?
98 feet recorded length.
Oh my, that's crazy.
Just like, what, like almost as big as like a football field?
All right.
They said that that's longer than a blue whale. So, perspective. And I'm like, how would this?
That's a range.
That's a, yeah, it's big. I was like, do they measure that like underwater or do they find them?
And, do like, they get the Laffy Taffy machine?
Oh, yeah, just roll them up. So, the biggest versions of these can grow up to about 200 feet recorded length. Oh, man. So, these worms are huge.
And are they exclusively found in the ocean or
yes.
any?
Oh. Yes, salt and fresh water, actually. But when they went back to look for it, they couldn't find it. So until proven other words, it's the giant Juno worm of Juno Beach. See, not creepy, but just very interesting.
Ooh. I think you've warmed us up, though, for the next creature I'm going to delve into.
Creepy?
Very, yes. I oscillate between really interesting and just... Oh my gosh, I hope I never meet it. So, creepy, yes.
Okay, fair
but
enough.
Also very interesting. Okay, so I am going to now go over an animal called the Wampus Cat.
Wampus Cat.
Yes, which also falls into the height range similar to the swamp ape. So you're looking at like 7 feet.
Okay, well, I mean, if I saw a cat that big, yeah.
A little disturbing. But you know how cats sometimes like to just stand up on their 2 feet and it really freaks everyone out because you're used to seeing them on 4 paws?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is what the Wampus Cat does. So it's an upright cryptid, just like the swamp ape, and accounts vary with how many limbs it has. The most common is 4, but it has been known to have 6, according to our book. This also has bright yellow eyes, also has a howling scream, and it's basically a walking bobcat, which if bobcats don't freak you out anyway, just in nature, in the crazy YouTube videos you see with their stork creatures, just imagine something like that walking upright and then making eye contact with you. Very unnerving. What I found most interesting about this cryptid was it has roots in Native American folklore. And it has had reported sightings across Appalachia. Hmm. Specifically, the folklore I'm referring to is a story that's rooted in the Cherokee Nation. It comes from a lady named Running Deer who, after finding out that her husband's soul had been consumed by the Wampus Cat, was asked by the shaman of her community to...
Boy, this story is getting wild.
Campfires are ready. S'mores are ready for the happy place. So she is asked to scare the Wampus Cat to death. To death.
Okay.
So here's the fun part. It's similar to a story in Greek mythology as well. She takes a mask of a bobcat, goes after this, you know, sneaks around. There's a reason why she's called Running Deer. She was very agile, very intelligent, could sneak around kind of like a fox. So she went after the Wampus Cat, found it drinking over a pool of water, and when it turned around, it saw its own face, and it died. And it was never seen again. Which doesn't explain why we somehow have seen it in North Florida. according to this story.
Boy, this story was real.
Yes. So its roots in Native American mythology seem to have migrated south a little bit. There was an account of a guy hiking in North Florida, and his dogs just ran off, and he's standing there thinking, you know, what on earth is going on? And then he came across the Wampus Cat, ran as fast as he possibly could into a hut with his gun ready, while the thing stalked around the hut, making the howling, the horrible howling noise. He survived, of course, but that's the account. So do not come across the Wampus Cat if you want your soul to remain intact. Oh, and something to make this a little bit easier to process. The Wampus Cat is a house for Ilvermorny, which is the American wizarding house in the Harry Potter universe.
Yeah.
And the hairs of a Wampus Cat are used for one core.
So it's real.
So real.
Okay. My next and final monster. It's not, okay, the name isn't very scary, but like the length of time, the period of time that this takes place, it's just, is to me, is very crazy. I don't know. It's very, for something like this to take place after so many years, and for there to be so many accounts of it, it's like, how can it not be real?
Oh, I can't wait to hear this.
Okay. So this cryptid, it's called the Three-Toed Monster. So when and where? Clearwater, 1947. This is when red tide algae is on the coast, and it's leaving tons of dead fish, birds, and seagoing animals on the Gulf shore. A local couple was nearby one night, and they were, quote-unquote, parking, when they saw a creature come out of the Gulf. They described the creature as, like, hulking, very large, kind of, like, just sulked out of the water and onto the shore.
I already don't like this.
Yeah. So the local couple ran to the police and told them, and since Clearwater back then was a very small town, everyone knew everybody, they took them very seriously, and they went out there to investigate. What they found was some tracks, three toed tracks, 14 inches long and 15 inches wide. They said the creature had to be at least nearly 2,000 pounds to make the prints that deep in the sand.
Oh my goodness.
But they couldn't find the creature. They found a couple more tracks upshore, but they couldn't find the creature or what left the tracks.
Sorry, it was engulfed by the Gulf?
I guess you could say that. Supposedly, I guess. So over the next few weeks, more tracks were found up along the beach. But what's interesting, what I found interesting, there were similar tracks that were found 40 miles inland around the Suwannee River.
No.
It went inland. Oh my gosh, guys.
It's migrating.
So this caught the eyes and ears of a zoologist in New York called Ivan T. Sanderson. He came down. He's like, I got to check this out. So he went over the footprints, went over some of the records of what has been recorded so far about this monster, and he postulated that it was an extinct giant penguin. Now, the penguin that he said is roughly about, I don't know, 3 to 5 feet tall, between 200 and 220 pounds. But there's no record of this penguin ever being this far, like, Florida-wise, being this far, like, west. So this is an ongoing thing. And over the next couple of months, there are more tracks found, different parts inland, still along the beach, though.
Happy feet.
Yeah. The creature was spotted, though, by a couple of people. Oh, yeah. They were a couple of pilots had spotted this creature, and they described it as a furry log, head of a large boar, legs of an alligator, webbed arms, and at least 15 to 20 feet long.
I mean,
talk about, like, attributing things to, you know, like, just trying to, like, understand it. There's a lot of pieces there of animal. But what's crazy is another couple spots a similar creature, gives kind of like the exact same description. They hadn't heard of the report that was given a week before. So they give a very similar description of the creature. They chalk it up, local zoologists chalk it up to be maybe an extinct toxodon, which is like this animal that kind of fits the description, but not exactly. I thought this one was funny. The animal was also spotted by a deacon of a local church. He thought there was this log floating in the river, and he went to go check it out because he thought it was strange. He's like, well, that can't be a log because it's floating against the current of the river. So what they do was they take a boat and they row out there, and the second they get close to it, it dives underwater. It just not seen again.
Gone.
Yes. So Sanderson comes back into the picture, the New York zoologist, and he, after this sighting, he had planned, he's like, okay, well, I'm going to capture this thing, and I'm going to see it for myself. So he does see it, fails to capture it, but sadly, he dies in 1973. So this creature first spotted 1947. We're in 1973 now. And this has been going on for years. After his death, spottings continue on for another decade or so, until Tony Signorin, in 1988, claims the monster was him. And I know, this had a surprising ending for me.
Bravo.
And to prove it, he showed the police these giant metal shoes that he had made. How he explains why he made these is that he saw snowshoes at one point. He's like, oh, you know, it'd be really cool. It's like, make giant, like, footprints.
Oh, my goodness.
So him and his friend, every couple of nights or so, would go out to the beach under the cloak of darkness and would just stomp around the beach and then leave.
The original
and
trolls.
And then report it in the morning.
Oh, they took it one step further.
Yeah. But here's the thing. That doesn't account for any of the actual sightings of the monster described. It only accounts for the footprints.
It's true.
And that's the three-toed monster.
Okay, so I have one last monster. And I think we're going to end the podcast with this one because this actually has an element of truth to it.
Ooh.
Yes, very, very surprising given our subject matter today. I don't know if you listeners have heard of a creature called Hugzilla, which cropped up a couple of years ago, a very, very large...
I mean, it sounds like a sci-fi original movie, but go on.
I would be surprised if it wasn't. In 2004, there was a gentleman who lives in Leesburg, Florida, who found a very large hog stalking his backyard. He freaked out, as most people would, went and grabbed his gun, came back, and he shot the hog. The hog weighed over 1,000 pounds.
Excuse me?
Yes, over 1,000 pounds.
Whew.
The average weight of a hog is between 450 and 500.
Oh, man.
Yes.
I don't know why I thought hogs weighed a lot less than that, but... Man, that's a lot. But 1,000 pounds?
1,000 pounds is ridiculous. Now, I was really skeptical, as I'm sure most people would be if they come across, like, oh, there's no way, like, a pig can be that big, you know? And I did the research. It came up on Snopes. There is photographic evidence of the existence of this hog. This particular hog is referred to as Hog Kong. So feel free to Google Hog Kong. You will find this creature.
The sequel to Hogzilla.
Exactly. Son of Hogzilla. I can see the sci-fi original series now. So yeah, this creature exists. My theory, my guess as to why this is considered a cryptid is because there are persistent rumors that there are giant hogs running around forests in Florida. And much of the other places in Appalachia. So it does not surprise me at all that Hog Kong was initially dismissed as a myth, but then found to be a creature who once existed. Oh, and further perspective as to how big this creature was. 1,000 pounds is about the weight of 1/4 of the weight of a car. So just imagine a hog car running around. And fun fact, it's the same size as a cheese wheel that was given to Queen Victoria back in the day.
Man, I'd love to see that cheese wheel.
Me too. I'm now craving bacon and cheese. Thank you, Swamp Ave, and Hong Kong. Delightful.
Oh my gosh. That's a lot of bacon. Is that bacon? Sure. Oh, you could give the bacon to the other one.
To the Swamp Ave.
Yeah.
This is Hong Kong. Maybe that's why he disappeared. Because he found Hong Kong.
Oh my gosh.
Still doesn't explain the growling from earlier on.
Okay, listeners.
On that note,
if you've stayed with us this far and you haven't been creeped out yet, hold on a sec, because I'm going to tell you about the International Festival. Now, if you have been listening to our past episodes, yes, we have talked about the International Festival, but only because we really want you to go. It's a very unique opportunity for you to experience different cultures and learn about different cultures.
Mm-hmm.
Emily, I believe you are actually doing part of this festival.
Yes, Rebecca and I will be co-hosting the England table. So we'll be featuring different information from the Regency, Edwardian, and Victorian eras, and there will be food.
Oh, I think that's all they need to hear.
Delicious.
Yeah, so be sure to come out to the International Festival. It will be on April 18th here at the Hart Memorial Library in Kissimmee. And it will be at 5:00 to 7:00. Now, I believe I will leave you with the closing line again this week.
All right. So, listeners, I have a final question for you. Do we or don't we believe in the existence of cryptids? The truth is out there. Da-ba-da-ba.